But one of the things I want to mention is that 25 years ago, I was on this very stage. I've been here that long, being as young as I am. Believe that? Yes, I was on this stage, and it was God had reiterated his commitment and faithfulness to me. I stood on this very stage with my soon-to-be wife, Debbie, Deborah, whichever they call you nowadays, right? I stood on a stage and we were married. Today is 25 years for our anniversary. This afternoon, me and my wife and I, as she wrote down, I got to have the proper English, will renew our vows to God and to each other. But first and foremost, it's to God. We had a conversation during the week, and she says, oh, you know, we're going to be renewing our vows and everything. And this is for fun. So for fun. I said, I can think of much better things to do for fun. I said, so when you get saved and you backslide and you rededicate your life, is that for fun? Or is that rededication and that vow and that commitment just as serious then when you make it? And it is. This has been fun for me, the second wedding, because I don't have to do nothing but show up. Wait, I did that for the first one too, right? So it kind of was fun for me. I just got to show up. All the work and everything goes on her and now the kids. But it is about commitment, faithfulness, first and foremost to God. It was 25 years ago that we committed to God in front of witnesses, just like today, that we would turn around and live according to his word. That we would be a living epistle, an example of what it is when he can bring two broken people together, two imperfect people, and make something beautiful out of that. And I got to say, he's done a good job, even with me. He's done a great job with my wife. And she's still working on me. He's still working on me. She'd like another 25 years. But it's an example that we wanted to live out. We wanted to live it out for the glory of God. It's something that, for us, if you think about it, and I've thought about it, 25 years is a long time. You go back to that time, and you remember that. Pastor John remembers that. Bob's supposed to remember that. Right? And you think over all the ups and downs that you've had in your life. Anybody have some ups in their life? Anybody have some downtime in their life, twists and turns? Right? And you look back at that. You look back where you were, right? Wendy, where she was, where Wendy was, where she is now. You look back at that. It's good to take stock in that. To look back where you were and where God has brought you. You know, and we always think that we want that perfect life with no trials, no tribulation, no grief, no hurts, no pains. But I want the life that he chose for me. And if that included trials, tribulations, and pain, I've come to know that I can trust him in the midst of that, as well as the good times. That he is a trustworthy God, that he committed himself to us. He committed himself to me even before I was married. He knew me before I knew me. He knew me before any of you knew me. He knew me before my parents knew me. As the song says, he knew me in my mother's womb. He knitted me together. He knows the life that I was going to have. He knows all the sin that I was going to commit. He knew that. And I think about that and I find it amazing, truly amazing that he knows all of that. I want to turn around. This is entitled Psalm 139. Instead of reading it, I'm actually going to play it. If Jesse could play that.
You search me and you know me. Familiar with all my ways. Placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge. message I can't attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in the depths, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast, even there your hand will guide me, 'cause you are there.
My favorite psalm. I mean, when you think about it, David, Roger's favorite person in the Bible. Right? We know David, and God knew, and David knew, wherever he went, that everything was known to God. God knew everything that David did. David pulled the wool over his own eyes, but not over God's. The heart's deceitful above all else. David committed adultery, right? And it was Nathan that, in a roundabout way, came to reveal what David had done to himself, the sin in his life, what he had done. We can pull the wool over our own eyes sometimes. We can listen to the lies. We can think that God doesn't know us, that we're alone. We don't purposely all the time go right jumping into sin, thinking, I'm doing this and I really don't care. No, you know what's sin, I'm going to do it anyhow. We somehow get led astray thinking that somehow we justify our actions in the midst of that. God knows us. David talks about knowing God, knowing that he's everywhere you go. He's on the job. He's in your home. He's with you when you're alone. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. You know, you think that we have this canny idea of conducting ourselves a certain way. You know, looking over our shoulder, knowing that he's right there. We'd watch what we say, how we act, because he's right there. Now, growing up, right? My parents, I'd act a certain way. You get around your friends, you acted something different. Now, I remember with the kids going to school, they knew a lot of people, and they'd tell me stories. Right? They'd like, "Dad, you wouldn't believe what's going on in school with these kids and stuff." I said, "Well, you know, it's public school and whatnot." He said, "No, I'm talking about the kids that I've seen in church." I said, "Well, that's schizophrenia. They're two split personalities. Right? They act one way in church and around their parents and totally go off and act a different way." They're like, "What?" I said, "I'm just teasing you." So that's our flesh, our sinful nature. We can't get away with it. But something in that psalm talks about God loving us. He loves us with an everlasting love. I wrote down here, I mean, he knows me. He knows absolutely nothing is hidden from him. He knows every one of my sins, shortcomings, weaknesses, doubts, fears, deceptions, manipulations. It's a pretty fearful thing if we think about it. I did say that nothing is hidden from him, didn't I? How does God see you? The enemy would want us to stop right there. Does he see you in your sin? When you look in that mirror, when you think about it, when you see yourself, when you look at yourself, when you examine, you're like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe me. You know? Why'd I do that? Why am I doing that?" What do you see when you see yourself? What is it that you look at? Do you look at the sin in your life? The weaknesses in your life? I mean, I do. I look at my shortcomings. I look at the sin in my life. When I make mistakes, when I get upset, when I say something that I shouldn't have said, done something I shouldn't have done, I see that. It flashes before you no matter what. And sometimes you stop right there. You start believing the lies. You start believing that's who you are. Well, that's who I am. Right, Jonathan? You start believing the lies. You start believing what other people are saying about you. What does God say about you? When God sees you, Beth, when God sees you, what's the thoughts that come in your head? I mean, we know he sees all of Beth's sin. Thank God he doesn't broadcast it. Right? But what's the thoughts that come in your head this morning? God sees each and every one of us. Donna, what's he see? When he's looking at us, what does he see? Now, for each and every one of us, that's going to be something different. You may be struggling with what you see right now. You may be struggling with what you're doing right now. You may see the weakness in your life, the sin in your life, and how you haven't overcome it completely, that you've started to try to push in, to press in, saying, "Listen, I don't want to be like this." Ken's son, Matthew, has sung a song by Micah Taylor, "I Want to Be Different." Matthew's seen that he didn't want to be like that. Not that Matthew was a bad person, but he wanted to grow. He wanted to mature. He wanted to move forward in what God had for him. He wanted to reach his destiny, reach out for God. And God put a song in his heart to do that very thing. Now we see Matthew up there singing a new song. Isn't it good to see Matthew up there singing? seeing pursuing God. I mean, I love that. He puts that song in our heart. You know, Micah Taylor calls it a soul song. Right? And he puts it in your heart. But if you had a minute to think about, what does God see when he sees me? And what's some of the first thoughts that come to your head? Shane, what is it that God sees when he sees me? What is it that you see when you see me? Nothing? What is it you see when you see me? First thoughts. You're scared? What? Ed, what is it you see when you see your wife? Pardon me? Angel. Marty, what is it you see when you see your daughter Ashley? So what do we see? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the truth? You know, the enemy has us take a slice of our life where we did stumble and we messed up, and this is all he ever wants us to see. He doesn't want us moving forward, moving past that. He wants to think, that's it, it's over. This is what defines you now for the rest of your life. That moment. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I know, because he's done this for me. He's done this for me in my life from way back. There's many times I've taken a slice of my life and said, okay, this is it. This is what my life amounts to, eh? This is all it's ever going to be. And I would buy into that. Lie. But thank God he would break through and show me something different. Thank God that he put me in a family. I said I've been here a long time. This is my family. Right? God told me when I was very young, just a child, that I'd be a light in my family. I said that was my immediate family. Of course, I had to argue with him, tell him no, because I was just a little kid. My older brother's supposed to set the example. No, my mom's dad's supposed to set the example. He said, no, it'll be you. And I was a light in my family, and I am. Then I began to expand that, and I was a light in my family with my aunts and uncles and cousins and all my relatives. And I expanded to become a light in this family here, because God put me in this family. You know, early on, I was probably an example of what not to do. Now look at me. I'm an example of both still. Some things you need to do and some things you don't need to do. At least if you're close to me. Right? Because my life is an open book. We just heard that. But he put me in a family, and this is my family. Well, as for me in my house, I said it before, we choose to serve God. As for me and my house isn't just my house. Although my wife's birthday was just Friday, so I bought her a house. We went to the house, and unbeknownst to me, our real estate agent Angela had to put happy birthday and everything. And I said, well, happy birthday, honey, look. So we will be moving shortly. And that distance is shorter and shorter if it's up to my wife. There's no rest for the wicked. The story I tell is, unfortunately, I took my wife to the doctor, and she said, can I go back with you? I said, yeah. They had some concerns, and the doctor gets all my tests back and whatnot, and he's reading them. He's like, oh, it's not the best, but if you keep working like you are, you'll live an old, old man. All my wife heard was, if you keep working like you are, you'll live. There is no rest for me. But being part of this family here, I mean, I look out, and some of you I know over the years, some of you I've gotten to just meet, Right? But I don't know you like God. But I know God. God spoke to me at the beginning of the year. I read some stuff. And it talked about possessing the gates. That was the prophetic word for the year, possessing the gates. And I had read on to what that entailed. What did that mean, possessing the gates? Taking possession of the gates. And those gates were every facet of life. In your spiritual walk, in your destiny, in your inheritance. Just like Joshua going into the promised land. He was to take possession of the land. God spoke to me, that's what we're to do, possess the gates. You know, it even went on to say, well, if you don't believe that, then you ain't got nothing to gain. But if you choose to believe that you're to possess the gates in every area of your life, financially, your health, if you're to possess the gates when it comes to your kids, to your marriage, every part of your relationship with God, with your coworkers, your job. And I meditated on that for a while, then I shared it with my wife. I told her, that's the word for the year, possessing the gates. I'd call her up in the morning because God actually pays me to walk around, listen to worship music, pick up paper, and talk to my wife. Hour and a half, every morning, Monday through Friday. I get paid to do that. Thanks to the Bluetooth, you know, headphone there. So I'd call her up, honey, what's the word for today? Oh, pushing the gates. So pushing the gates, honey, possessing the gates. We talked about this. 2 days later, I'd call her up again, right? Honey, what's the word for today? Opening the gates. She was confident. I said, okay, this has not been instilled in her heart yet. There's some confusion that I have to rebuke here. It says it's about possessing the gates. And we would pray. I said, this is your year. This is the year. I didn't declare it. God does this. This is the year of God's favor. This is the year that you push back. If there's ever been a time that you see in society that there's a pushing back from God's righteousness moving forward, it's now. It's now. I mean, if there's ever been a time that society has come against a president, it seems to be the only thing that can be talked about. It's now. There's a pushing back. And even if it's just a distraction to what God is really wanting to do in our hearts, in our minds, I want to possess the gates. Possessing the gates comes in blessings. My daughter's here, Cassie. Got 4 beautiful daughters. Right? And we prayed for her to have a child. That was a fight. Yep, I'll be a grandpa. I won't be old, but I'll be a grandpa. Yep. Little girl. My son has already committed to having her pull my heartstrings to get whatever he needs. That's why I have to call him out. He's got index cards saying, go ask Papa for this. Go ask Papa for that. He's going to be training her. But bringing forth that life was a fight. It was about possessing the gates. And me and my wife, we just kept praying and praying and pushing in. Pray for Jesse. I don't know what it is about every one of us. It might be from me. That we want to get married and start a family without a job. The job comes at the last minute, you know. We got our future planned out and everything. It's like, oh, you know, a job would be really nice, Lord. Well, possessing the gates came with a job for Jesse. Yeah. Thank you, Cody. Thank you very much. The first thing I thought when Cody was able to assist him with that and he got a job working for Motor City Electric was, that boy's going to be off my insurance soon. I'm going to have some extra money. This is what I'm going to spend it on. So I really thank you, Cody. Like every week I'm asking him, yet? Are you insured yet? So he got a job, full-time job. They can continue making plans for their future. I know that Ed and Jennifer were nervous marrying off their daughter to a guy that didn't work. A lot of faith there, Jennifer. And we'd be praying again each week, possessing the gates, pressing in. Because there were still those that hadn't possessed their gates. So we're praying for Josh. Josh had an opportunity to fulfill a dream of his. I don't know if today would be ideal, but he always wanted to be a mailman. He's now going to be working for the United States Post Office. Nope. As I said, today, I don't know, but he got a job working for the post office. It's something he's always wanted to do. We prayed through that. But there's still those that haven't possessed their gates. Anybody here have all their gates possessed yet? Got everything that you know that God wants for you? Got everything that God wants for you, Bob? Nope. Joe, you got everything that God wants for you? Laura, do you got everything that God wants for you? Not yet. Lizzie, you got everything that God wants for you yet? Tony, you got everything God wants for you yet? Do you know what he wants for you? Sometimes we don't even know what we want, let alone what God wants for us. That's why it's good to turn around and get in the body. To get into a good church body and allow God to grow you, to mature you, to bring understanding, to guide you, to lead you, as the song said. No matter where you go, God will lead you. Get in a good body where God can turn around and just minister to you in every aspect of your life. I just happen to know one. This is the one I go to. It's the one I'm part of. This family right here. I'm not going to go anywhere else. Not that this family's perfect, but it's the one God put me in. I think he knows better than me. And I'm glad. Because he's established me. He's given me a future when I thought I had none. He's caused me to grow. He's humbled me in this body. I can remember standing on that stage and repenting. Not an easy thing to do. But knowing that God would bring it all about. So one thing that I live for is that I want to be a real Christian. A real Christian. And if that means getting on that stage and repenting, that means that. That means being real to those that are here. In my struggles. In my weaknesses. In my strengths. That's what I want to be. That's how God sees me, a real Christian, a real man of God, with strength, with a love for one another. How does God see you? Jesse, can you play that other song for me?
Here, but let me tell you, dear.
sees us. That is how God sees us. He wanted me to play that for you. He wants to know that you're loved. He wants to know how he sees you. Jonathan, that's how he sees you. Don't believe the lies. That's not who you are. Never was, never will be. God is just getting started. Just getting started with me. He's not done. Not done. He's not even close to being done. I want the double anointing. I want the double blessing. I want to possess the gates. Do what you have to do, Lord. But I want to possess the gates as for me and my family. I want to possess the gates. It's for every one of you. I want to possess the gates, Lord. Do what you got to do. Do it in me. Amen?
Amen.
If I can have the prayer team come up. Oh, look at it. We got an angel that's going to be praying for you. An angel and a prophet. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that it is your heart's desire for us to possess those gates, Father God. That we can start again, even today, Lord God. Just making that vow, making that dedication to you, to having your way in our life, Lord God. And then just watching and expecting the good things that you have for us, Lord God. Just pruning back what needs to be pruned and bringing forth that fruit, Lord God. There'd be an expectancy, Father God. Even as all those reports came forward in the morning Bible study, Father God. That's just a taste and a continuation of what's happening, Father God. It is amazing, Father God, to be in your kingdom, Father God, because it is your kingdom that is never, ever going to end, Lord God. Although we may be here on earth, Father God, for the short time, we are part of something greater than just this, Lord God. Strengthen each and every one of us, Father God. Father, put a hedge of protection around us, Father God. And meet the needs, Father God, of where your people are, your children are, right here and now, Father God. Some are on the mountain, some are in the valley, Lord God. May they have your presence wherever you are, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Different things would be, dear younger me.